Father, say amen. It's a privilege for me to be here this morning to attempt to bring the message. Thank Todd for his opportunity. It has been a while since I spoke, preached rather. So glad to see my family here this morning. My oldest son, his wife, Bill Kent, Ronula Kent, Doris, and Vincent, her husband, and three of my grandkids are here this morning. I'm glad to see that. And I have a new grandson this morning. I'm glad to be able to announce that. Yeah. And so we're all excited about that. And when my youngest granddaughter heard that we had a new baby, she said, "Well, I'm not a baby anymore, I guess, huh?" So I'm no longer the baby of the family anymore. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask you, O God, if you would preside over, let the Holy Spirit be with us as we attempt to bring your word to your peoples. And I pray. We shall be reading this morning, but my text will come from the 8th chapter of Romans.
Okay. So close to you now.
Okay. Testing. Can you hear me? Yes, we'll be talking this morning from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, which is a great book, and this is a great chapter. My subject is the flesh and the spirit. And the flesh we are familiar with because it was our first mother, the flesh. So we're familiar with that. We're familiar with the problem that we have with our flesh. The flesh wants everything that is not good. But thank God that we who are born again, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, who helps us to override the power of the flesh. The flesh is powerful. It is the flesh man, but the spirit also is powerful, and we have to make provision for the spirit. We have to keep the flesh under control. Only way we can do that is through Jesus Christ, the one that gave his life, that we can overpower this flesh that is always giving us trouble. Romans chapter 8:1 said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." I often think about the law, the power of the law. And I often think about that God gave Adam one law, and he failed to keep it. And then also he gave, through Moses, he gave us 10 laws. And I'm saying, how in the world can we keep 10 laws when we can't keep one? It was impossible to keep that one law. So it let me know that we need Jesus Christ. Because without him, he said, you know, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So as believers, we walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. Because we know that the flesh is weak. We know that the flesh desires everything that is not good for our physical bodies, and also not good for our spiritual bodies. So, but and then he's saying we walk in the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. God told Adam, and he said that you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, and but the tree of knowledge, good and knowledge of good and evil, you should not eat of it. All those trees in the garden, he desired to eat off that one tree. And that's kind of the way that we are today in Christ. So we desire to do wrong. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. So there was nothing wrong with the law, but it was the flesh that had the problem. And, you know, I like to define, there were a lady that she went out and bought a big, nice roast and put it in the oven, and it began cooking. And as she was waiting for it to finish, and Miss Joe Doe called, and she pulled up a chair and sat down, and Hun Joe Doe was talking. They were talking, and she said, Oh, Miss Doe, wait a minute. I smell my roast burning. She ran in the kitchen and picked up the fork and jugged it into the roast, tried to pick it up, and it began to tear. So she would put it towards the bone and the steel, so she went and got a spackler. And she put the spackler under the roast and lifted it out of the pain and the burning grease. And that's what Jesus did for us. The flesh is weak. And for what the flesh could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. This is what Jesus did for us. When God gave Jesus because we were helpless, because we had no hope of eternal life without Jesus Christ. And, you know, I often wonder, Todd, you know, that God being all-knowing and all-caring and all-seeing, that he knew the problem that man was going to give him, but still, in all of that, he still made man in his image. And in God's image, he made man and breathed in his nostril. You know, so man is above every beast of the field. He's above every animal. I don't care how strong the animal are, man's superior. He's superior to all of the creation that God made. So God put a part of himself in man. And Adam fell. When Adam fell, God gave his only son, his only begotten son. He only had one son. But he gave that son to come down here and take on the form of a man. He came down here to take on the humanity of man. He came down here to rebuild the broken bridge that man had caused by separating himself from God. I'm so glad about that this morning. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. So we have a new nature now. I'm talking about the new man. And believe me, that there's a warfare going on in each of our bodies. And in this warfare, that is a sin is fighting against righteousness. Each of us have it. And we cannot get rid of the flesh as long as we're in this land of living. And I don't want to get rid of it right now anyway, but I'm willing to allow my spirit to fight against the evil that's in me. Romans 7 and 18 said, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. We cannot find good within ourselves. There's somebody else that we can find in it, but we can't find good in ourselves. I mean, you know, I search myself, and everything that I desire to do of my flesh is wrong. But I can find it in Jesus Christ. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. You know, and that can mean a whole lot of different things. You know, when we think about sin, you know, the thing that sometimes called the body problem. You know, God said that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So God want us to even protect our bodies because it houses the Holy Ghost. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the carnal mind is enmity. For the carnal mind is enmity. Praise God. But the spiritual, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. So he's saying here that the carnal mind, our everyday carnal mind is enmity against Christ. Because we think of the wrong, that desire is always in our mind. You can be sitting down, even reading your Bible, and there's thoughts that come into your mind, and we have to guard against that because we're who we are. We're in Christ Jesus, and we are responsible for showing the world that Jesus Christ is still alive. And he's still, I heard she said that he's our high priest. And he's the only high priest that doesn't have to have a sacrifice. Praise God. I mean, so what I'm trying to say here is that although he took on the form of man, but he was heavenly. He was heavenly. Spiritual minded. And God made him a little lower than the angel, but he crowned him with glory and honor. And he came to take away the sins of the world. And if he had been earthly, he would not have been able to remove the sin from our bodies. But because he was heavenly, first man Adam was earthly, but this man Adam were heavenly. He had the mind of God. And God was pleased to send his son into the world to die for the sins of the world. And those little three-letter words, they awaited. Sin is a powerful thing. Sin is a dangerous thing. And without Jesus Christ, we're not able to overcome our own bodies. Thank God for Jesus Christ. For the carnal mind is enmity. Praise God. The carnal mind is enmity. Enmity to God. Separated from God. The carnal mind separates us from God. That's what the carnal mind does. Praise God. Because the carnal mind the carnal mind is against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Praise God. I'm glad about Jesus. Romans 7:24 says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Jesus Christ is the one that shall deliver us from this body of death. Praise God. He's the only one that can do it. There's only one door that leads to life everlasting. And that is Jesus Christ. I hear somebody say there's many ways in it, but there's only one way in. And it is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door of the sheepfold. And if any man come in any other way but by me, there's a thief and a robber. I am the door of the sheepfold. Praise God. We must come by him. Otherwise, you know. And it is a narrow door. But as you get into it, it begins to widen out. Life everlasting. Joy, peace, mercy. But the door is narrow. But wide is the way that lead to destruction. Wide is that road. And so many are traveling that road today. There are those who are really against God, and they don't make... I mean, they're not ashamed anymore to say that I don't like Jesus Christ, but I love him. The world uses that name today as a slang word. God said, I'm not going to hold you guiltless for using my name like that. That's what he's saying. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If ye then be in the spirit of God, the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Spirit of God is life because of our righteousness, because the righteousness that God have given to us, not our righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But the righteousness that God has given us comes from heaven, and we can dwell in that righteousness, and we can face our problem through that righteousness. You know, when trouble comes, we can go on our knees and talk to our Heavenly Father. Talk to our high priest. Let him know, God, we need you. We can't get along without you. And he's able to handle every situation. We just turn it over to him. But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. He's going to fix it. He's going to fix these bodies. And he's able to do it. He knows how to do it. He knows how, sometimes when I have a problem, I don't know what to pray for, and I just turn it over to Jesus Christ, and He make intercession for my prayers. You know, He can take it, what I don't know, what I can't do, He can take it before His Father. That's how good He is. Praise God. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, within Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's what he said. Getting ready, you know, moving the war as the cross, because what he did for us at Calvary, we have to remember that it was at Calvary where all of these problems were taken care of. And as he began marching from Jerusalem to Calvary, the road were not easy. They laid a cross on his shoulder. And the cross was so unbearable because he had been beaten and tortured all night. And he was struggling to get to Calvary Mountain. He didn't know that out there, when he got to Calvary, that the Father was there with all of the sins of the world. The place on Jesus. He was struggling to get to Calvary. And he was struggling, falling down. I could see him in my mind, my spiritual mind, falling down, trying to make his way to Calvary. And as he moved towards Calvary, his knees gave out. But he was still struggling to get to Calvary. Sometime in this life, we're struggling, trying to make it in. There are some folks that are in pain every day. They're struggling, trying to make it through life. But I want to tell you that Jesus is the answer. He's able to give you power. And God gave him power to move to carry a mountain. Got to the top of the mountain, he laid down on the cross. Then nobody had to lay him down. He laid down by himself on the cross. And they nailed his hand, and they nailed his feet. Then some mumbling words. But every now and then he began to groan because of sin. And he just laid there and they raised up the old cross. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, they raised up that old cross and they shoved it down in a hole. Isn't God good this morning? And he just hung there between the heaven and the earth. Isn't God all right? He stayed right there. There were two thieves by his side. He stayed right there. Somebody said, if you be the Son of God, come down and save yourself and save us too. The thief said the same thing. Oh, come down if you be God. He save others. Himself, he cannot save. I'm glad about that. He saved me long time ago. He saved my soul. Yes, he did. I'm glad about it. For hanging out there on Calvary, look at God, put the sins of the world on Jesus. After a while, God turned his back on his son. I heard him cry out, Father, why have you forsaken me? I've done what you told me to do. I'm dying for the sins of the world. That's why I'm dying. I'm dying because you sent me to die for the sins of the world. And he hung there and he bled and died for this cause, so that I can have a right to the tree of life. They took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb, and he stayed there for 3 days. But early Sunday morning, he walked out of the grave and said, all power is in my hand. Grave, why your power? Why are you holding power? You've been holding men for a long time, but why are your power? Yes. Death, why are you sting? He robbed death of the sting. We who are in Christ Jesus, we don't die, church, but we just move from one location to another one. He got up that Sunday morning with all power in his hand. Ain't going to die anymore. He's a high priest. If you need him, call on him. He's able to answer you. And he's able to make a difference in your life because he is Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we thank you. We ask you, O God, to bless this congregation. keep your arms around, look on those problems that was stated earlier. Ask your God to just bless those who are in need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.